Okay. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 15, text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Savai Ratnam Tuta Dristva. Atmaish Varyati Shayanam. Tanadriya Tagnir Hotriyam. Sabilasha Sahai Hayaha. Somebody could chant. Machis. Word for word, Saha, he, Kartavir Arjuna, Vai, indeed, Ratnam, a great source of wealth, Tu, indeed, Tat, the Kamadenu, in the possession of Jamadagni. Dristva, by observing. Atma, Aishwarya, his own personal opulence. Ati, Shayanam, which was exceeding. Tat, that. Na, not. Adriyata, appreciated very much. Agnihotriyam, in that cow, which was useful for executing the Agnihotra sacrifice. Sa Abhilasha, became desirous. Sa Haihayaha, with his own men. The High Hayas. Translation. Kartavir Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthier than he than himself because of possessing a jewel in the form of the Kamadhenu. Therefore, he and his own men, the Haihayas, were very much apprehensive. Were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. On the contrary, they wanted to possess the Kamadhenu, which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. Purport. Jamadagni was more powerful than Kartavir Arjuna because of performing the Agnihotra Yajna with clarified butter received from the Kamadhenu. Not everyone can be expected to possess such a cow. Nonetheless, an ordinary man may possess an ordinary cow, give protection to this animal, take sufficient milk from it, and engage the milk to produce butter and clarify ghee, especially for performing the Agnihotra Yajna. This is possible for everyone. Thus we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Goraksha, the protection of cows. This is essential because if cows are cared for properly, they will surely supply sufficient milk. We have practical experience in America that in our various ISKCON farms, we are giving proper protection to the cows and receiving more than enough milk. At other farms, the cows do not deliver as much milk as in our farms, because our cows know very well that we are not going to kill them. They are happy, and they give ample milk. Therefore, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Goraksha, is extremely meaningful. The whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily but without scarcity simply by producing food grains, anad bhavanti bhutani, and giving protection to the cows, Goraksha. Krishi Goraksha Varinjam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. Those who belong to the third level of human society, namely the mercantile people, must keep land for producing food grains and giving protection to cows. This is the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. In the matter of protecting the cows, the meteors will protest. But in answer to them, we may say that since Krishna gives stress to cow protection, those who are inclined to eat meat may eat the flesh of unimportant animals like hogs, dogs, goats, and sheep, but they should not touch the life of the cows, for this is destructive to the spiritual advancement of human civilization. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Vaskacha Te Shatarne. So, is mentioned here the importance of of the cow in Vedic culture. So the cow is one of the seven mothers. It's our mother because it gives us milk, just like the mother gives us milk. And then when we grow older, we take milk from the cow. And the bull is our father, because like the father earns for the children, the bull produces food grains to feed the people in general. So in this way, they're their most valuable assets in society. And the cows are referred to as the most offenseless creatures, because even their stool and urine is pure. Cow's urine, it's utilized in Vedic culture and cows and cow dung. And Prabhupada explains in Srimad Bhagavatam that according to the Ayurveda, that by taking cow's urine, it helps with liver problems. And of course we know that cow dung is used in Vedic ceremonies, just like when we have Abhishek. One of the items if you have cows where you live, you could have Panjagavya. Panjagavya is during the Abhishek when you bathe the deity. So that's the five items from the cow, which is cow's milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine. So in this way, you use that to bathe the deity with. And of course, cow dung is very pure. It's pure and antiseptic. Prabhupada mentions how one could keep stacks of cow dung, and it won't create a bad odor for anyone. So it's such a valuable thing. And the cow protects us. The cow actually protects whole human society because it gives us milk. So we should also give it protection. In this way, we'll advance in spiritual life. To be successful in human life, Srila Prabhupada mentions one has to protect the cow, protect Brahminical culture, and above all, become a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these three things are absolutely essential in order to advance in spiritual life. So this milk is such an important item. In fact, it says in this age of Kali, people are destined to live for 100 years. But because they don't take sufficient milk, therefore they don't live very long. So by taking ample milk, one is sure to prolong one's life, develop one's brain, engage in devotional service, and ultimately attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's such an important item. And it develops the finer brain tissues in the brain, so one could actually understand transcendental knowledge. We're so fortunate we still have milk available, but this won't be the situation at the end of Kali. At the end of Kali, it's explained that at the end of this age, there'll be no sugar, no grains, and no milk. And people will live a very short life. Even if they become 20 or 30 years old, they'd be considered an old man. So milk is such an important thing. And we advocate milk. The Krishna Conscious Movement advocates in drinking of milk. But as Prabhupada explains in connection with the churning of the ocean of milk, the demons, they just think they take an opposite understanding. They always take an opposite view from the devotees. So we say milk is good for you, and the demons, they say, well, by scientific knowledge, we can understand that milk is dangerous, and to kill the cow and eat its flesh is very nutritious. So this difference of opinion has always been there for many, many thousands of years, And it will continue to go on because that's the nature of the demons. They always think opposite of the devotees. So this cow protection is, it should be enforced within the state. Explain that if somebody kills an animal like a cow in a secluded place, it's just like if somebody would kill a child in a secluded place, and that person should be given the death penalty. So that actually that's good for them because otherwise they have to suffer more in their next life. So punishment by the government is a good thing because it relieves someone's suffering. But still, the evidence is there in the Vedic literature that if one kills a cow, then one has to suffer for as many years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. So this is a very sinful activity. So, those people who engage in such activities, they cannot understand Krishna consciousness. It's to explain the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam that there is two people, two kinds of people that cannot understand Krishna consciousness. Those who try to commit suicide and those who kill the animals like the cows, they can't understand Krishna consciousness. So this is very important. And the cow is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that we come to this human form of life through the mode of goodness when our last incarnation was that of a cow. So in this way, the higher living beings, they come through the cow. Their last incarnation is in animal kingdom is that of a cow. And those, they're in the mode of ignorance, they come through the monkeys. And those who are in the mode of passion, they come through the lions. Like that. So, in no circumstances should the cow be killed. But also Prabhupada mentions in extreme circumstances, he explains this in the in connection with Prita Maharaj, he says that if the cow is given sufficient grass and still there's no milk and the people are starving, then the cows should be killed and given to the people. But then again, he also goes further on to say that actually there's no scarcity. Actually, there's no scarcity in the world. The government throws grains into the ocean and they restrict further production of food. But if there was one government to handle the grains in the world, there would be no question of scarcity, no need for slaughterhouses, and there would be no need to present nonsense theories like overpopulation. So by Krishna consciousness, things will go on very nicely. So this is one of the products of the cow is ghee. So ghee is very important. Actually, it's absolutely necessary to when one performs sacrifice that one has ghee. And this is one of a sacrifice is one of the three processes that are required for peace and prosperity in human society, namely tapa, austerity, charity, and sacrifice. So in this way, everyone should engage in these activities in order to advance in spiritual life. So this milk is very auspicious. It actually probably explains in the 8th canto Srimad Bhagavatam that just like on Ekadasi, we don't take grains on Ekadasi. Similarly, it's generally recommended that one drink only milk on Devadasi. That's the day after Ekadasi. So, and by taking milk, one can maintain oneself in the mode of goodness. So these are one of the different foods that are in the mode of goodness. Mentioned the Bhagavad Gita, there's sugar, grains, milk, like that. These are foods in the mode of goodness. So we should eat those foods in the mode of goodness. And, of course, offer those to Krishna. Because the mode of goodness is there. That's a platform to advance you higher. And so you could become a devotee. But ultimately, you have to take up Krishna consciousness, because just being in the mode of goodness is insufficient. So there has to be Krishna consciousness there. So we offer all our food, things that are nicely quality foods in the mode of goodness, we offer those to Krishna, and then we become purified like that. So devotees, they offer things to Krishna, and we have to strictly follow this process. Prabhupada says those who aren't initiated, those who are not chanting, Krishna will not accept their offerings. So we have to be very pure and make nice offerings to Krishna. In this way, we purify ourselves. So all this in all these things about the cows, the vaishyas, they take care of the cows. But for all this to work, we have to have a society that is based on varnashrama. You have the brahmanas, the heads of society, the kshatriyas who protect the citizens, the vaishyas who protect the cows, and the sudras who offer manual labor to others. So by their cooperation, all these things go on very nicely. Just like we said, if there's somebody tries to kill a cow, then the kshatriyas come in, just like Maharaj Parikshit. He came in and he was going to kill the Kali because he was abusing the cow, which is the symbol of the cow is this, the purest of all animals, and it represents religious principles like that. So it's the business of the king to protect the cows in that way. And of course, the brahmanas give instructions to the other classes on the importance of cow protection. So this varnashrama is such an important thing. Prabhupada mentions, many times he mentioned this, specifically he started mentioning it in a big way in March of 74. He was explaining about the Varnashram College, that the training is there. The different castes have to be trained in order to properly perform their duties. So he mentioned in there, and this is a morning walk in March of 14, 1974, he said that this Varnashram College is the most important and most auspicious item. And without it, there will be chaos and confusion, and thus people will not be able to take up Krishna consciousness. So this is helpful to get them to Krishna consciousness. So he's explaining that whether all over the world, whether the East, the West, they are simply sudras or lower than sudras. Simply mlechas and yavanas, they are not even human beings. That they've been rejected from Vedic civilization, but they can be reformed just like you have been reclaimed. Even though we are coming from the mlechas and yavanas, by training we are becoming more than a brahmana. So this is very important, this training. And there's no bar from anybody, any low-class men, there's no bar for them. But, as Prabhupada goes on, he says, but as soon as you say no illicit sex, no meat-eating, they become angry. As soon as you give them good instructions, they become angry. If you give a snake a nice milk and bananas, the result will be that it would simply increase its poison. So in the Western countries, they are very much into this industry for getting money so they could eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy wine and women. Probably explains that how that this is they're not even human beings. This is the first time that an attempt is being made to make them human beings. He said, "Don't mind that I'm speaking very strong words, but that's the fact." So everything is becoming degrading more and more. There's chaos and confusion, and that will increase, and it will become hell. And the people are spoiled, being misguided by so-called leaders and government men whose only business is to tax them. So on one side, there'll be heavy taxation, and the other side, there'll be no rain and no food. And there'll be so much unemployment because nobody knows what they are or what they should do because they're not divided into various varnas or ashrams. So these leaders, scientists, and philosophers, they are simply fools and rascals. And they are accepted by another set of fools and rascals who are lower than sujas and who do not know the meaning of philosophy. Actually, a philosopher is one who is searching after the absolute truth. This is mentioned, these philosophers are mentioned in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's mentioned one who is distressed, one who is in need of money, one who is inquisitive, and one who is searching after knowledge of the absolute truth. So even one who is distressed, who is praying to God, please God, please give me my daily bread, he's also a philosopher. A philosopher is not someone who is an artist, which is a sutra by profession, or a Freud rascal who is elaborating how to have sex life, or those rascals who write books on the philosophy of sex, which is known even by the dog. So, but in the forest, jackal becomes a king. Once there was a jackal, and he came into the village, and he fell into a big vat of blue dye, and he became all blue. And he went back into the forest, and when the animals saw him, they said, "Oh, who is this?" And even the lion was surprised. "We have never seen such a being like this. Who are you, sir?" And the jackal said, "I have been sent by God to rule over you." And so they began to worship him as their leader. And then once some other jackals began to howl. So the blue jackal, he also had to howl because that is their nature. And then the other animals could understand. This rascal is a jackal. So the scientists, so-called scientists, they're not really scientists, they're not leaders, because because there are so many things they do not know. They are passing on as such, but actually they are not actually scientists. Just like a child is passing on as a teacher, but he is not a teacher. So the real thing, these scientists, when they come across the real thing, the real problems, which are birth, death, disease, and old age, they cannot do anything about that. They simply set them aside. They take them very lightly. Just like the rabbit and the monkey, they close their eyes. If a monkey comes in contact with a tiger, he immediately closes his eyes. And then a lion immediately attacks him. So we can understand that these scientists are simply jackals in the forest. because they are simply talking nonsense. So we have to expose them. They are not leaders. They are jackals. And we cannot allow jackals to rule over us any longer. They neither politically, scientifically, philosophically, or any other way. They should be kicked out and Krishna consciousness be brought in, and they should be kicked out. This should be our propaganda. In this way, people will become happy, and not that we're going to make some business and take some money. So the main aim of Krishna consciousness, or the main aim, our main aim is to get people, help give people Krishna consciousness. And for that, we are accepting this Varnashrama to give them preliminary help so that they'll be able to accept it. Otherwise, it will not be possible. To understand this philosophy, it requires a cool brain. And if they don't have that, if they're in chaos and confusion, then they won't be able to understand. So we have to preach Krishna consciousness by taking this Varnashrama and thus laying the groundwork, because nobody else is doing it. Just like probably gave the example of some great devotees in South India. They took to the profession of a thief. But is a devotee a thief? But they took to that because nobody was paying. So they organized a plundering party to plunder all the big men, just like the politicians do. So in this way, even to the point of becoming a thief, a devotee will take to it. And the gopis, even to the point of becoming a prostitute for Krishna. So a devotee will accept any nonsense type of business, or that in the highest grade. For Krishna, he will do it. So then Prabhupada goes on to explain how, by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, they are now becoming trained up. And then he said, now you become trained up and revise the whole edition of the Western civilization, especially in America. This is a program, therefore a Varnashram College is required. So in the Varnashram College, it is especially meant for training of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas. And those who are not fit for education or reluctant to take education, they are the Sudras, and they should help the higher three castes like that. So the Brahmanas, they are truthful, they are austere, they control the mind and the senses, they are tolerant, they're not disturbed by trifle matters, they are clean, take bath at least three times a day, all their clothing, everything is clean. They know what is knowledge, what is practical application of knowledge. They have firm faith in Krishna. So these are the qualities of a Brahmana. And this is their training. And they are the general teacher class, the general teachers, and the Brahmanas, they learn all kinds of fields of knowledge. But it's not that they have to teach everything, but they become expert in a particular subject, and then they teach that. So one who has Brahmana means one who has a good brain, and he can learn anything and teach anything. Just like he said, some of you will have to learn how to fight. You would teach how to fight. And not that we'll have to fight, but practically we won't have to fight, but if necessary, we can. Just like Dronacharya, he was a Brahmana, but he taught the Pandavas how to fight. So the Brahmins would teach various subject matters. And the Kshatriyas would get military training. They would learn how to fight and how to kill. And they would take whatever weapons were practical to use, which were good to use. Thus, if guns are could be used to easily kill, then they would also take that. It's not that because formerly they were using bows and arrows, this should continue. This is probably another kind of foolishness. Just like he said that the airplane, they said, you know, like Lord Chaitanya, he walked on foot. So some people criticize us. They say that, oh, Lord Chaitanya walked on foot, so why are you taking the jet plane? And Prabhupada mentioned that, should we take this ideal? No, if the jet plane is there, we must take that. We must take that. And just like he explained how, like, there's four or five of us men right now, we are hearing this, but this can be recorded, and so many people could hear this. So when one has to work with the greatest facility. So just like Prabhupada said, we don't want money. We don't want money, but the materialists, they're getting money in so many ways, and using it for wine and women. So we should take their money somehow or another and build a temple and invite them to come and see and give them bishadam. This should be our policy. For us, we could sit down anywhere and chant Hare Krishna. We don't need a temple, but we are building these big buildings and temples for their convenience, not for our convenience. This is sannyas. So then later on, that was in 74, Prabhupada was saying all these things. And then in 77, he also mentioned about Varnashram, and this is in February the 14th, 1977, that whatever we're doing now is on a small scale. But if we want to do something on a big scale, then we must introduce this Varnashrama. So this is Prabhupada's plan. This is his big plan to spread Krishna consciousness. And he mentioned in 74 how we should, whatever we're doing now, that should continue. But we also have to add this Varnashrama. And he also explained that people will come to our farms. They'll come when there is poverty because they are not doing anything. They're simply speaking gossips and not producing. So when there is poverty, they will come to the Varnashram College like that. Okay, we could stop there. Are there any comments or questions on these points? Yes, Storm.
Thank you very much for a nice class, Prabhu. I was just wondering on the comment that you made about having like sort of like degraded occupations for Krishna. Could you maybe elaborate on that?
Say again?
Could you maybe elaborate on it, like how the gopis were prostitutes for Krishna, or how we could be doing any sort of like nonsense for Krishna?
Yeah, well, it's the point is that one would do things for Krishna's sake. So that's the main consideration. Just like Krishna told Maharaj Yudhisthira to lie. So it seemed like that's a bad thing to do. It's against moral principles. But Krishna wanted it. So in this way, he should follow what Krishna wants. And Arjuna, he was killing his own relatives. But Krishna wanted it. So in this way, we have to be prepared to do that. Whatever Krishna wants, whatever the spiritual master instructs, then we have to do that, you know. And so that's the main consideration, you know, irrespective of a, you know, moral or unmoral situation.
But how do we know when and what Krishna wants, especially if it comes to terms of having to do something that is seemingly immoral?
Well, you have to. That's what there's. Anyways, Krishna appears in different. He appears in the heart. He appears in the instructions of the scriptures, and he appears as externally as a spiritual master. So one has to hear from the spiritual master. You know, if one's not pure enough, like one devotee asked, one conversation, Prabhupada, could you speak to the devotee through the heart? And Prabhupada said, yes, if you can't, if you're pure, everything depends upon purity. So, you know, Krishna can speak to you within your heart, but if we're not at that platform, then we should hear from the spiritual master and carry out his instructions. And, of course, these books are here. Prabhupada spent so much time writing these books to answer so many of our questions. And if we just follow that and, you know, follow what's here, and there's so many instructions we have to do, if we just follow that, then automatically we'll become purified. And any other little details we don't understand, that will become revealed to us. But if we don't follow all the instructions that Prabhupada gave us in his books and his lectures, then how do we expect to understand anything beyond that? It won't be possible. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Maji?
An example of how what Krishna wants is so important, but we've seen in the past that sometimes people have taken that in a very kind of cheap way and done all kinds of things in the name of Krishna, and in the long term it's worked against our goal of getting more people to like Krishna and to get involved with Krishna.
Yeah, so, you know, just to elaborate some more, you know. Anyway, just like I told Bhakta Storm, that one has to become pure, and one has to hear from the spiritual master. One can't just, like one devotee, he was taking books, he was taking some books out of the library, some Sanskrit books, I think, and he wasn't going to return them. Prabhupada said, no, one has to follow the rules and regulations of society, unless one specifically told not to do so by the spiritual master or by Krishna. So, you know, one can just whimsically think that I could just do this for Krishna, you know, but one has to, you know, following the injunctions of Shastra, you know, in certain circumstances. And the spiritual master, one who is actually spiritual master, he won't give the disciple bad instructions, you know, he'll give them good instructions. So, like that. Yes, sir, Prabhu.
It's just an announcement. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., we'll meet in the temple room and have a Mridanga class to further the Varnashram Society in New Dwarka. A special guest teacher. 10 o'clock, meet in the temple, and then congregate.
Okay. Mataji? Haribo. Okay. So we can stop there. Jai Ogloi, Shishi, Guru, and Goranga.